Amen. Well, it's an honor to have Brother Jeremy with us this morning. I love Brother Jeremy. I appreciate him and the word that he gives. I was telling someone this morning, I said, I've never heard him preach that he ain't fed my soul. Amen. And give me something to think on, not just that day, but many days after. Yes. I appreciate him, and I tell you, he's one of the most silent, smartest guys I know. You say, what do you mean by that? He don't ever brag about how he studies and what he knows. But Brother Jeremy, I appreciate your wisdom and the studying you put in and the time in preparing sermons. He's one of the best that I've heard. I love him. You make him welcome this morning, Brother Jeremy Howell.
Thank you, Brother Jason. It's good to be at Grace. Amen.
Amen.
Good to have Grace.
Yeah.
At Grace.
Yeah.
Amen. Good news is about Grace, I can have Grace even after I leave Grace. Some of y'all get that next year. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I appreciate the Lord, appreciate His presence, appreciate you being here today. I appreciate that message, Pastor Brian. And that was a refreshing to me. And God knows what we need, amen. Even before we do, most of the time. And, well, not most of the time, really all the time. And God's got it all under control. I'll get all the technology lined out in a minute. Used to just be me and the Lord. Now you got to have all this stuff. Didn't know when I was when God called me to preach, it was going to require so much equipment. Amen. I mean, you need a suitcase now for your Bible. Amen. But good to be here today. While you turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 12. You know, there's really, I'll just be truthful. I'm preaching because Brother Jason is the authority of this house, and he asked me to. And after a message like we've heard, there's really no reason for me. I'll promise you that. There's really no reason for me. We could all say, boy, it's been good. And we could go on, and God would have got all the glory, amen. And that's the truth. God, give me a message, and I will not hold you too long, okay? All right, I promise you, I'll not hold you too long. I'm not one of them guys. I'm just not going to do that. I understand. I did this for a number of years, 300 days a year, and Brother Derek does that now. And the truth is, when you preach that much, you can tell whether people are listening or not. They may be looking at you, but they're not listening. Amen? And so I'm gonna hopefully have only stick with this as long as you're listening. Amen? I'd hate to have to keep on preaching because you're not listening. Reminds me, though, I heard a guy tell a story, and he said he told it like this really happened to him. He was preaching one morning in his church, and he said, I could tell the people were not listening. And he said, I didn't know why they weren't listening. And he said, then I caught something out of the corner of my right eye. He said, that morning I had cut myself shaving. Anybody ever done that? And he put a little corner of tissue paper right there and forgot about it. And he said, I know what's going on. And he pulled that off there and he said, let me tell you, this morning while I was shaving, I was thinking about my sermon and I cut myself. Well, he went on and the service wasn't really much to write home about. And on the way out, this little boy walked up to him and said, preacher, I wish next Sunday you'd think about shaving and cut the preaching. Now, I'm glad that little boy don't go to church here. I'd hate to run a little boy off from church. Amen. If you have your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12, I'm going to read. Now, don't everybody panic. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only 6 verses. And if you're okay with that, I'm pretty sure you'll get to go in the rapture. Amen. But I'm going to read the whole chapter to you. There's a few key things there, But I want to, the purpose of this message is my prayer is that God would restore something. The thing I'm going to preach about today is vitally important to the house of God and to the church of the Lord. And it has been lost over the generations by and large. And as a result, the enemy has been able to get inside the house of God. And he's more importantly, he's got inside the houses of Christians. And we have lost more battles than we've won lately. And I pray that we'll be able to have this thing restored to us. Isaiah chapter 12, if you have that, would you do me a favor? Would you stand this morning just as we read this chapter and see what the Word of the Lord has to say? The Bible says this, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust, and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day ye shall say, Praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." I want you to notice verse 6 real closely. He says, cry out. That means audibly. That means it can be heard. Cry out and shout. We're in a Baptist church. Shout. By the way, this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment from the Word of God. He said, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Why do we shout? Because everything's perfect? Because everything's good? Because everything's suiting me? Because it's just the way I like it? No, this is why. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. If you have God in you today, raise your hand. If you have God in you, you have been commanded to shout. For a number of years, the church has been losing the shout. We have forgotten how to shout. We have assigned the shout to the one old woman who still wears her hair in bobby pins. We have assigned the shout to that one guy whom God has done so much for that he cannot help but contain himself. And it's okay for those two people to shout. But everybody else, shut it down. I want to preach this thought for just a moment of time. What might happen if we got our shout back?
Amen.
What might happen if we got our shout back? Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to be at Grace and Lord to preach the Word of God this morning. And Lord, I ask you today, God, to open up my mouth and to loose me to preach this morning in this place. I pray the power of God be demonstrated here in this camp meeting. Thank you, God, for Pastor Jason and Grace Church. And thank you, God, for their love of us and their support of us. And God, in the number of years that we evangelized, God, many times, God, they were the reason that we were able to pay a bill counselor. They were the reason we were able to put gas in the car and drive to the next place. And God, we're honored to be here today with them, and we love them. God, would you bless them for this camp meeting? God, I pray, Lord, today that you would restore the shout back to your people today. And God, that we could take the shout from this camp meeting and take it back to our churches where we're going to. And God, the shout would return to the house of God. And Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would it be all right if I lose this jacket so I could preach? Thank you. I got the vote. Amen. Listen, I want you to understand there are 15 times. It's not once, but there are 15 times in the Word of God that He does not suggest, but God commands His people to shout. I'm not going to read all 15 of them to you today. I'm going to hit a few high points and get out of the way, but I do want to share just a couple of more verses with you before we get into the meat of the message this morning, if that would be all right. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also love thy name and be joyful in thee." Psalm 32:11 says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Psalm 47:1 says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." It is amazing to me that something God tells us 15 times, if God says it once, that's enough, amen? But let alone 15 times, and it be so absent from the midst of the church anymore. Can I tell you that the devil has had a strategy against the shout? Because the devil knows that there is power when God's people learn how to shout. He knows there's power in that. There are some things that God will simply not do until the shout is returned. The shout is an act of faith. That's why the devil attacks it so. Because shouting is declaring that I believe God will do what He said He would do. Shouting is an act of faith. Shouting invokes God to action on our behalf. Amen? You say you got Bible for that? I do. We're going to get into it in a moment of time. I want to ask you a question today, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many in here today have something only God can do that you need done? You got something you need done, and only God can do it. That, my friend, qualifies as a miracle. You need a miracle, but I'll tell you, you got a miracle working God, but there are some miracles He's not going to do until God's people learn how to shout one more time. Israel was well acquainted with the power of the shout. And if you'll allow me, I'm just going to go to a few places this morning and tell you about the power of the shout. What might happen when the shout returns, when we remember how to shout. The Bible tells us this in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. This will be our first place we're going. It says, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their face." You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Jeremy? I'm trying to tell you, nobody had to teach them how. Amen. Nobody said it's the right time to shout. Nobody taught them how. Nobody said, hey, when you see this happen, everybody shout all together. No, it was a spontaneous thing. Can I tell you something? If we are really children of God, we already know how to shout, and we already know when to shout. And the problem is we're refusing to shout. It's not that shouting has become outdated. It's not that shouting has become out of style. It's that shouting, my friend, has become the enemy of the devil, and the devil's done all he can to rob us of our shout. You say, why did they shout? Because the offering was on the altar, and God confirmed that He accepted it. Hallelujah. You say, why should we shout? Because I'm telling you, 2,000 years ago, outside the city walls of Jerusalem, the offering went on the altar and God accepted it when He ripped the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom. And I'm here to tell you, if God never answers another prayer, if He never never heals another disease, if he never does another thing I ask him to do, he's already accepted it, and I'm going to shout because he's God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shouting is a sign that your sins are covered. I don't worry about them that shout. I worry about them that don't. You know why I shout? Because I know I'm saved. I don't have to wonder about it. I don't think I'm saved. I don't hope I'm saved. I'm not maybe saved. I might be saved. Listen, I'm not on the layaway plan. I've been saved. I've been paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. My friend, we need to learn how to shout again. You know what happened? Do you know what it tells me when you quit shouting? You're not sure if it's still on the altar. When you don't shout, you're doubting Calvary. I didn't figure you'd shout on that one. We don't shout when we know there's sin in the camp. Hey, amen. When I see someone shout, I see someone who knows where they are in God. They know who they are in God. And they know God is on the throne. The Bible tells us this. This will be point number two if you're counting. The Bible says in Joshua chapter number 6, verse 2. Can I just read this to you? That'd be all right. I thought I'd just highlight it. But I think it'd be better if you just got it from the Bible. The Bible says in verse 2, and the Lord said. Anytime the Bible says that, you ought to perk your ears up and pay real close attention, because that means it's the God of glory talking. And what he says is more important than what I got to say. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. That is the key verse to the whole situation. He said, this is God talking. God said, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And then God gives him the plan. And God says, this is how you're going to do it. Listen, he says, you're going to walk around the city one time 6 days. On the seventh day, you're going to walk around it seven times. And he says, after the seventh time, the priests will make a long blast with the ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, he said, you're going to shout. Amen? That's what God said. God said, the wall ain't coming down till you shout. Amen. You say, I don't understand. Let me preach this point to you. They were facing a battle that was bigger than they could win. Amen. Jericho was a self-contained, self-sufficient city. They had water supplies. They had grain storage. They didn't have to go out. They didn't have to come in. And the Bible says that Jericho was shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. They had embattlements set upon the tops of the walls. They had archers on the walls that if they tried to charge the gate, they would use the archers and gun them down. Listen, there was no way they were going to win unless they won God's way. Now I'm here to tell you today, my friend, and a lot of us in this room right now are facing things we're not going to win unless we win God's way. And God's way is not to get a lawyer. God's way is not to go get a loan at the bank. God's way is not to go find another preacher. God's way is not to go find another church. God's way, my friend, is for the child of God to do what God said do. He said, I have given you the city and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Can I tell you something, my friend? They marched in faith for 6 days and didn't say anything. They, on the seventh day, they marched seven times. And after that seventh time, listen to me, there wasn't a crack in the wall. It hadn't started dropping. It hadn't started drooping. The archers were still there. The gates were still locked. Can I get a witness? Their situation had not changed. They had done everything. They were obedient. They had done everything that God told them to do. And had they been Baptists, they'd have went home and complained for 8 years. God, I did everything. everything you said to do. God, I said it. I did every single thing. I did it exactly like you said. And God, there wasn't a crack in the wall. Them archers didn't run away. Nobody ran and hid. They didn't run the white flag up. They didn't open up the gates. They didn't say, come on inside. Have you done everything but shout? Hello? They had done everything but shout. Can I tell you, in the world, we're willing to do everything but shout. In the church house, we're willing to do everything but shout. We'll do everything but that one last thing. It makes us look crazy. It makes us look mad. It makes the world think we've lost our living mind. Can I tell you, my friend, God said you've done everything except the one thing that's going to make a difference. It wasn't the marching that made the difference. It wasn't the being quiet for 6 days that made the difference. It was the shout that made the difference. And can I tell you, Church of the Living God, it's the shout that is going to make the difference. It's the shout that's going to make the difference. You say, how do you know that? I know that because an invading force never shouted until three conditions had been met. Number one, they had to have infiltrated the city. Number two, they had to have subdued the enemy king. And number three, they had had to lift their standard above the city. When that was completed, then they would shout. But God told him in verse number two, behold, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. God said, in my book, you've already infiltrated the city. You've already subdued the king. You've already lifted your flag. God said, just go ahead and shout. And I'm here to tell you right now, the doctor might have said cancer, but go ahead and shout. The banker might have said no, but go ahead and shout. It might look like everything's falling apart in your life, but God says, go ahead and shout. I wonder what would really happen in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ if the shout ever came back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jeremy? They shouted because God said to. Amen. They shouted because God said to. Would you like to have some reasons to shout this morning? Listen, he said, I am forgiven, and that is enough, so I shout. He said, the blood has covered it all, and that is enough, so I shout. He said, Christ is risen, he is ascended, he has sat down at the right hand of God, and he makes intercession for me, and that is enough, and so I shout. He said, he would never leave me, he would never forsake me, but he would be with me even to the end of the world, and that is enough, and so I shout. He said that he would supply all my need according to his riches in glory, and that is enough, and so I shout. He said, whosoever would call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's enough, and so I shout. He said he went to prepare me a place, and when he goes and prepares that place, he's coming again. He's going to receive me unto himself, that where I am, there he may be also. That's enough for me. And so, brother, I shout. Hallelujah. Give him praise in the house. Hallelujah. It don't always look like. Go ahead and shout. Bunch of you dead Baptists need to shout. You know what would do some of you some good? If you'd get over yourself right now and lift both your hands in the air and stand up on your feet and give God a hallelujah too. It changed your life. It changed your world. It changed your church. It changed your family. It changed your situation. If you'd learn how to shout again. You'd learn how to shout again. The walls of your life would fall back down. If God never does another thing, we can shout till the trumpet sounds and not ever shout long enough. It don't always look like life is going to go the way the Bible says. You ever found yourself saying, God, it ain't supposed to be this way. This ain't how it's supposed to end up. It was supposed to be different this time. It was supposed to be different. I wasn't supposed to have to face this. I wasn't supposed to have to go through this. It wasn't supposed to be my family that busted up. It wasn't supposed to be me that found myself in bankruptcy. It wasn't supposed to be me that all my friends forsook me. It wasn't supposed to be us that heard the doctor say it's cancer. It wasn't supposed to be us that the church said we don't want you anymore. It wasn't supposed to be us. It wasn't supposed to work out that way. But God said it's just another wall. It's just another wall. It's just another wall. And my friend, I'm telling you, if you'll shout, God is able to bring the wall down. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, what time is it? I got plenty of time, bless the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, we see something. We see that God, through Samuel, had spoke to Israel. He told them of their sin. He told them of their mistakes. They didn't do anything about it. Israel went out to battle. 4,000 men are killed. And they get the bright idea. Let's go get the Ark of the Covenant. Let's bring the Ark into the camp. Philistines are over here and they're over here. When the Ark comes in the camp, everybody goes to shouting. Bible says they shouted so loud it shook the earth. Amen. That's what it says. It shouted, they shouted till it made all of heaven ring. You hear what I'm telling you. And the Bible says the Philistines were afraid. This is verse 7. For they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe is unto us, for there hath not been such a thing here tofore. And they weep and they cry and they're ready to give up. They're ready to throw in the towel. And then all of a sudden somebody stands up and says, shut up. Stand up and fight like men. Now I'm paraphrasing it. And that's what they done. And the Bible says that Israel was smitten before them and every man fled to his tent. And there was a great slaughter. You see what he's trying to say? Listen, I'm leading to something. You just hold on a moment. We're going to go to chapter 6 in a minute. But before we do, let me tell you this. They shouted, but it was in the flesh. It wasn't a true shout because it was not a shout of faith in the Word of God. It was not a shout of faith in the God of Israel that lived inside of them. It was a shout of faith and said, hey, we can live like hell, and if as long as we got the Ark, we can still do what we want to do. Shout now, why don't you? Can I tell you, they had abandoned God for perversion. They were fornicating at the door of the tabernacle in Shiloh. Eli the priest had refused to deal with his wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And God said, shout all you want, I'm not going to bless it, because I will not be invoked to action because of your heart. You see, they lost the battle and they lost the Ark of the Covenant was taken. Eli died that day. Hophni died that day. Phinehas died that day. And Ichabod was born that day. And the glory of the Lord departed. And for 7 months it stayed in the possession of the Philistines. And then for 20 years, the Bible tells us in Psalms, it sat outside in a field by the woods. David went to get it. And he tried to get it the way the Philistines would have got it. And Uzzah died. Hear what I'm telling you. Amen. He tried to go get it. Uzzah died. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Listen, let me read 4 verses to you. Verse 12 says, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord. Now notice they're carrying it now. Amen. Had gone six paces. He sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Notice this. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting. And with the sound of the trumpet. You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Jeremy? When you got the right motive and you got the right means and you got the right message, you can shout the shout of faith and God will back you up. Amen. I'm not in here to tell you that all you got to do is make a loud noise. I'm here to tell you there's a difference in noise and a shout. Amen. There's a difference in being loud and shouting. There's a difference in saying stuff and shouting. Listen, it's not perfect yet. But David says the ark isn't where it's supposed to be, but it's on its way. Amen. You know something, my friend? I'm not perfect, but I'm on my way. And so I'm going to shout. I'm going to shout. Hallelujah. I got one more. I got time for one more? In 2 Chronicles chapter number 13, the Bible says it was the time of civil war. Anybody know there was a civil war in Israel? I can tell by the lack of acknowledgement, not very many people do. There was a civil war. The tribe of Judah against the nation of Israel. There's a civil war. Brothers against brothers, and they're fighting. And it's in the middle of that battle that the Bible says this, Jeroboam, he was the king of Israel. He caused an ambushment to come behind Judah and before them. He surrounded them. He's got more fighting soldiers than they do. He's got a greater army than they do. They look ahead of them and there's the battle. They look behind them and there's the battle. That's what verse 14 says of 2 Chronicles 13. It's before them, it's behind them. And the Bible says they cried unto the Lord and the priests sounded with the trumpets. And then listen, they didn't have a class on it. Amen. They didn't call a business meeting about it. Amen. They didn't get everybody together and say on the count of three. Amen. But the Bible says in verse 15, the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass, not that the army did it, not that somebody fired an arrow, not that somebody drew a sword, but it says it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abiah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah. You say, what happened, Brother Jeremy? They were surrounded on every side. That means they couldn't see a way through. They couldn't see a way out. All they could see was their definite demise. But I'll tell you something. There was something that rose up on the inside of them. Because, my friend, they had not lost their shout. They were started shouting back in the book of Leviticus, and they were still accustomed to the shout. Can I tell you, my friend, if we'll make shouting a part of our life, if it'll be a part of our service, if it'll be a part of our way of living, my friend, nobody has to tell us shout now. Nobody has to say this is a time to shout. Brother, when it's time to shout, the Holy Ghost will cause you to shout. And when you shout, you'll overcome the enemy. Hallelujah. Stand up and give God a hand clap of praise in the house. Hallelujah. He's worthy today. He's worthy. He is worthy. Bless His name. Go ahead. You can do better than that. You can do better than that. In the midst of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Jason, come get this microphone. Thank you. I love you. God bless you.